to thank God for another good day He give to us, bring us through the night, and all of what He's done. We were actually up in North Carolina. We left out Monday. I'm sorry, what day was that? We left out Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, we left out to go up to a Jubilee in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and got up there. We were supposed to take the tent, but no, we wasn't taking the tent up there for sure. But anyway, we went up there to the Jubilee, and as we was up there, started watching that radar, and it was started looking pretty bad. So we decided to come on home Thursday morning. So we made it home, and here we are. It's been a couple of interesting days, but we did make it home. We had some good traveling coming home, but got back to work this morning. And, Preacher, that's when you called. We had just got the truck stuck in the middle of a cornfield. And usually we know when we start riding through that part of the field, you got to gas and go. Well, this time my brother was on a cell phone and really wasn't paying much attention where we was at and all that. So by the time you called, I was half out of breath and had the shovel in my hand digging the truck out and playing in the mud. I reckon you don't never outgrow playing in the mud. We was playing in the mud. So we got out of that, and the phone kept going in and out, in and out. I said, my soul, I can't get the preacher back. So anyway, finally got together. So I called Lacey, and I said, round everybody up. We changing plans. We going to Orangeburg tonight. Well, the boys was in the middle of the woods in Utahville. And they was going hunting tomorrow, so they was setting up a hunting stand. And there was zero service. And I bet I called them 10, 15 times, message them all right on down the line. I could not get them, couldn't get Curtis, couldn't get Landon, couldn't get nobody on the phone. And finally, and to count on top of all that, 5:45 this morning, power went out. Yeah. And we still don't have power at the house right now. So I told Lacey, I said, get everything together and come on up to Mom and Daddy's house and my brother's house. We was going to try and make a go of it. It just didn't work. It didn't work. I tried to get the boys together with Lacey, and it just didn't come together. So I'm sorry they're not with us tonight. They are definitely the ones that you want to see. You don't want to see me, but you want to see Lacey and the kids. And they ain't kids no more. They're growing up fast. But I miss my family. I do. I go to meetings, and sometimes with them, sometimes without them. But I love my family, and I love them being with us. And we love coming here. We really do. And it's a blessing every time. I thank God for His goodness. And I'm like you, Preacher. They could have sung another 20 songs tonight. That would have been all right. That was some good singing. I love it. And that piano playing. You can be having the worst day of all, and you can hear some good piano playing like that and sing them words in your heart and your mind. And, boy, it'll lift your spirits. It makes a big difference. So I've been in some meetings and in some churches where they don't have any piano players at all. And it makes a world of difference. Y'all have got a load of talent here at the church. And that is such a great blessing from the Lord. But I know this tonight was geared towards the youth. And when the preacher called, immediately the Lord put my mind this direction among all the other things that we were considering trying to get here. But we did make it here just a few minutes before service. I was sitting out in the truck pinning down a few more thoughts and come on in. But we'll be in the book of 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, if you turn there. And while you're making your way there, I do just want to say thank you, Preacher, again, for allowing us to come back. And I do understand Preacher Qualls, y'all'd rather hear him tonight, and I'd rather be sitting here listening to him myself. He's a great preacher, and I've always got help whenever he preaches. But the Lord certainly knows what He's doing. There's one thing that I figured out through the years. I'm not that old, but I have figured out this one thing, that God makes no mistakes. He's always on time. He's always right. And so we need the Lord's touch tonight. So I do pray and covet your prayers. I ask that you go to the throne of God with me. And let's pray even before we read Scripture tonight. We might do things a little different, but that'd be all right. But let's pray. And as I pray, y'all pray for me and pray for the message tonight. Pray for the recipients of the message tonight, that God would do what He wants to do. Let's go to the Lord and through the throne of grace. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the good night You've given to us, Lord. Lord, we understand it, Lord, many events have happened in the last few days, Lord God, and they're completely out of our control. Lord, we realize that things do take us by surprise, but like the pastor said tonight, Lord, this thing did not take You by surprise. And dear Lord God, you do with all things well. We do not understand, dear Lord, a lot of times, Lord, and we never will understand the ways of our Lord. But Lord, we're thankful that we can trust in the fact that you do no wrong. We can trust in the fact, dear Lord God, that you are always with us. You're always there. You're always a very present help in the time of trouble. And I'm thankful, dear Lord God, that you're there for us. Lord, we need nothing else, Lord God, but you as our sufficient Savior, Lord, and our God of our life. And we thank you so much, Lord. We do ask, Lord God, tonight that you please touch us, Lord God, with the Word of God. I pray, dear Lord, and understand that the words of man will fail, but the words of God will never fail. And they will live forever, and they will abide forever. And so, God, I pray that you would take the living and powerful Word of God tonight and do a work within our hearts, dear Lord God, that only you can do. And God, I thank you, dear Lord. It sounds like it's been a good week of revival meetings already and good messages. And I pray that you'd help us to continue tonight, dear Lord God. I am but feeble man, but you are the powerful God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we read the scripture. And Lord God, you'd open our hearts and minds tonight, dear Lord God, to what you want us to see. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that, Lord, as a heart of expectancy has come towards you, Lord, you have never let that heart down. And so, Lord, help us, we pray, dear Lord, as we look into the Word of God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for praying. If y'all would, if you're physically able, let's stand just to read a few verses of Scripture tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. We'll begin reading in, excuse me, verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. But the Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon the altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars in the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Thank you for standing for the Word of God tonight. Y'all can be seated. Here in this portion of Scripture, and as well, I know that the emphasis is being put towards the youth tonight, like the preacher said the other day, this emphasis is on youth, but we understand that the message will still apply to all of us tonight. But we see here in this verse of Scripture, verses of Scripture, the thought of tonight, the title of the message is simply this: a desire to do right. A desire to do right. I do believe in the hearts and lives of God's people today, whether young or old, the desire to do right is waning. The desire to stand is quickly falling away. Up at the Jubilee we was at just on Wednesday night, hearing that one message. It was a message of salvation, but the theme of that Jubilee was fight, was to stand and fight. And no doubt in the day in which we live, and we've seen it as young people growing up now and seeing what this world is turning into, we are seeing the morals of individuals decline. We're seeing the morals of a nation decline. We are seeing those things that were once right, they are saying they are wrong. And those things that were wrong, now they're saying that they are right. But this world is corrupt. The government's corrupt. The leaders are corrupt. People are corrupt. But there's one that's not corrupt. Amen. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our Heavenly Father. And that's the one that Josiah called on at an early age. He had a desire to do right. Josiah was 8 years old, the Bible says, when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So the works that we're going to see that Josiah did, he completed those works by the time that he was 39 years old. 39 years old, and he became a great king in the land of Judah. And you'll see in another portion of Scripture that the Bible says there was not a king like that before him that did right in the eyes of the Lord. Josiah was just a young man. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign as king. But we see that God's help is not limited to the young or to the old. Amen. God's help and God's touch is available from the youngest person in here tonight to the oldest person in here tonight. From the youngest person listening by way of radio tonight to the oldest person listening by way of radio tonight. God's help and God's touch is available to all that would dedicate their lives to Him, that would consecrate themselves, that would separate themselves from this world, separate themselves from the morals of the world, separate themselves from the teachings of the world, and separate themselves wholly unto the Lord for His use and for His glory and for His honor. God desires to touch people with that kind of heart. The Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old. Could I say first, in getting quickly into it, that Josiah had to make a personal decision to follow Christ. Now, I understand that word decision is used in different ways tonight. There is a popular tent meeting and a popular camp meetings going on around where they want you to sign a card that said you made a decision for Christ. But could I say this tonight, that it is more than a decision? I use that word for alliteration aspect, but could I say that this word decision is not a flippant signing of a card. It's not a flippant, quick decision, oh yes, I'll do that. But this decision that I am talking about tonight is a heartfelt, deep, personal decision and motivation in your heart and a duty you find in your life to serve God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. Number one, I see that Josiah had to make a personal decision. What do you mean, Preacher Gary? I'm trying to say this tonight, that Josiah, could I say it this way, had to get saved for himself. Josiah could not get saved on his mom and daddy's coattail. Josiah, I'm preaching to the youth for a few minutes, and we're going to preach to everybody, I understand, but this is youth night, and I want to talk to the youth just for a few minutes. But young people tonight, has there ever been that time in your life where you have understood from the Word of God that the Bible tells me that I'm a sinner and I have to have a Savior? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That left no one out. Every man, woman, boy, or girl ever born into this world was born with a sin nature. You say, preacher, what is sin? Sin is hiding something from mom and daddy. Sin is lying. Sin is taking something. Sin is stealing. Sin is saying a bad word. Sin is thinking a bad thought. You fill in the blank there. Sin is doing is disobedience to your mama and to your daddy. But sin is anything that is shameful in the eyes of an almighty God. And all of us are born with a nature or a person inside that wants to do those things. We're born sinners in need of a Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, talking about the penalty or the price of sin. In Romans 6:23, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Young people tonight, you're sitting here young, and I don't know if maybe the youngest in here may be 5 or 6 years old, maybe going up into their teenage years, but you as a young person that may be sitting here tonight, you may not have realized yet that, yes, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong in my life. Well, God has got a message for you tonight for you to understand. I need Jesus. There's a need in your life that you have to be forgiven. And Jesus Christ came to be the forgiver of that sin. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. That means you and I. That's not talking about the plants and the trees and all that you see, young people. But the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means the boys and the girls, the men and the women, the people of this world. God so loved them that He gave His only begotten Son. Whenever you love somebody, you want to give them a gift and you want to give them a present and you want to give them something with no strings attached. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. But just reach out and receive that gift. If you had to work for it or earn it, then it wouldn't be a gift. It would be a wage. I remember growing up being a little boy, probably 4, 5, 6 years old. My granny and granddaddy, I talked to y'all about a little bit about that the other day, but they had pine trees everywhere in their yard. I'm talking about grown ones. And they would drop pine cones all over the place. And my granny give us a job of going out with a 5-gallon bucket and picking up pine cones. She said, I'll pay you a penny a pine cone. I said, a penny a pine cone? I'll fill my bucket up. And I get bucket after bucket. I thought I was doing something. I was getting a penny a pine cone. But you know what? With that bucket of pine cones, I give them to my granny. She gave her how many cents that I earned. I ain't got no cents. But she gave her, give me how many cents I earned. But you know what? That money she gave me wasn't a gift, because I worked for it. But if she would have gave me a dollar bill and said, y'all don't have to do anything for it, but I want to give you the gift of a dollar. You know what? That would have been a gift. And all I had to done is reach out and take it and receive it and put it in my pocket. And then I'd have went to Walmart, got a Hot Wheel. I love Hot Wheels. I still like them. But what I'm trying to say, young people, is this, that Jesus Christ came and He was the present and He was the gift that God wanted to give to save every one of you. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the only Son that He had, He gave Him to die on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and I, plug your name in, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Because you see, the reason Jesus had to come and the reason Josiah had to trust to Christ that was coming was because if we die without Christ and die without Jesus, and we die without taking the gift of Jesus and putting it into our hearts, then the only place that we're going to go to is a place called hell. And that's the reality of the Word of God. I'm not trying to scare you tonight, young people, but I want you to understand that hell is a place of darkness. And it's a place of fire. And it's a place where there is no joy. There is no happiness. There is no peace. Mom and daddy won't be there. Grandparents won't be there. You'll see no one, but you'll be all by yourself for all eternity. But the way you escape that awful place of hell is accepting the gift of Jesus Christ. And He'll save you. And He'll put you in heaven with Him one day. Where there's happiness, where there's joy, where there's Jesus, where there's God, where there's all kind of wonders that you'll spend forever seeing that God made. But Josiah believed in that present of Jesus Christ. He believed that to come. You see, Josiah was born way before Christ was to come. But we're born way after Christ came. But the center point is this. Jesus Christ is still the same Savior that Josiah trusted in. He's the same Savior that you can trust in tonight. He saved Josiah and He'll save you. He saved Josiah at the age of 8 years old. He began to reign and seek after God. I will say he got saved at 8 years old. It doesn't matter how young you are. If you have questions tonight about salvation, come see the pastor before you leave. Come see one of us before you leave, us adults. We'll be glad to take the Bible and show you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. But if you've already accepted Christ, you're a child of God. And the Bible tells us as children of God, we need to have a desire in our heart to do right. So now, let's look at what Josiah did at the age of 8 years old. Josiah made that personal decision to trust Christ. The Bible goes on in verse number 2 to tell us that there was a proper direction in Josiah's life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. There was a proper direction that Josiah had to take in his life because he was a follower of Christ. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of destruction. And we think we know what we want in life, but we really don't know what we want in life. We must serve God. We must desire to serve Him. And we must see fit in our heart to say, Lord, I don't know the way, but Lord, You know the way. I don't know what's good for me, but God, You know what's good for me. And Josiah did that. There was a proper direction. Could I tell you tonight, I wish I could tell you that Josiah had a daddy that loved the Lord and lived for Him, but he didn't. Josiah's daddy did that which was evil in the sight of God. He was a wicked king, and he did not trust the Lord, and he was not a follower of Christ. Could I say, though, that he did have a granddaddy at one time in his life was a wicked king, but his granddaddy got his heart right with God, and his granddaddy turned his heart over to the Lord, and he began to do great things for the Lord. The king before Josiah would come along. But so maybe Josiah was looking at his granddaddy and said, you know what? My granddaddy, there was a time in his life where he didn't love God, but I saw a change in my granddaddy's life, and he started loving on the Lord, and he started serving the Lord. And could it be that way in your heart and life tonight? You might have a parent that don't love the Lord tonight. You might have a parent figure that doesn't love the Lord, but you may have a grandparent figure in your life that loves you and wants to see you in the house of God and wants to see you choosing the ways of God. I want to encourage you, child of God, young person, old person, go the ways of God. Amen. Don't decline to the right. Don't decline to the left. The Lord God came to Joshua in the book of Joshua and told him, He said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He said, turn not to the right nor to the left. In other words, He was saying, Joshua, you follow Me and you follow Me right on. And don't wane to the left. Don't steer to the left. Don't steer to the right. But keep your direction set on Christ and set on the throne of God. Amen. There's a proper direction that needs to be taken in life as a young person or as an old person. Could I say this, young people tonight, that the path that Josiah took, the ways of David, his father, we can flip over and see in the earlier part of 1 Chronicles where David was making provision for Solomon to build the temple, that David said, Lord, I pray, and I'm paraphrasing this, I pray, Lord, that You would give my son Solomon a perfect heart. And that he would not turn away from the right hand nor to the left, but he would stay in the statutes or the teachings and the principles of the Word of God. It was David's desire for his son Solomon to live for the Lord and to please Him with a perfect heart all of his days. And let me say this tonight, that Josiah walked in the ways of David, his father. He had a desire in his heart. He had a proper direction. He said, I am going the way that God wants me to go. And could I say, young people tonight, if you'll go the way that God wants you to go early in your life, you'll be happy and satisfied when you get older in your life and say, man, I sure am glad I decided to serve Christ. You talk to any adult today that is in a broken home, in a broken life, and has so many scars on their life, and they'll tell you, I didn't follow God like I should have in my younger days. I wished I would have. But the sad truth of it is, us as adults, we can't go back to our youth. We can't go back and say, we can't look back. We can look back and say, I wished I had. I wished I had. I wish I'd have done different. I wish I'd have served God earlier. But let me say this, young people, tonight, you have the privilege, you have the opportunity to say tonight, I'm going to serve God from my youth right on up. Ecclesiastes, the preacher said in the book of Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Right now, you're sitting under mom and daddy at home. You got a mom and daddy that loves God, mom and daddy that brings you to the house of God. They want to take you to Bible school. They want to take you to Sunday school. They want to take you to revival meeting. You stay with mom and daddy. You be obedient to mom and daddy. You watch them love God, and you love God like they love God. You watch them read their Bible. You read your Bible like they read their Bible. You hear them pray. You pray like they pray, and you serve God like they serve God. And when you get to their age and you get to their position, you'll say, I sure am glad I serve God. Amen. Josiah set his direction towards God, and he made it a proper direction in his life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, there's one lie the devil will tell you as a young person or as an adult tonight. When you're by yourself, the devil will tell you, mom and daddy don't see you. You're by yourself, mom and daddy don't see you, so now you can do what you want to. But you know what the passage of Scripture tells us? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. The eyes of the Lord sees all things. It doesn't matter how secluded you are to yourself, young person or adult tonight. We have cell phones. We have Facebook. We have internet. Those things can get you in trouble. Young person to the older person tonight, could I ask you this tonight? As the eyes of the Lord are seeing you, what is He seeing? He's looking over your shoulder at your cell phone. He's looking over your shoulder at your computer, at your laptop, at your iPad. He's looking over your cubicle at work. He's listening to what you're listening to when you're riding down the road. Young person, what are you listening to tonight? The eyes of the Lord. Could I say also that the ears of the Lord are attentive to what we're saying and what we're listening to? Are we listening to the world's music? There's a proper direction to take tonight, young person, old person. There's a proper direction. Are we going to go the ways of the world and listen to country music, rap music, contemporary Christian music? Are we going to set that aside and say, nope, I don't want that. But yes, I want God. You got to make that determination right now, young person. That's why the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Because there's going to come a day where you're going to have to make a decision. 15, 16, 17, 18, young adult. Am I going to stay with God? Or am I going to go the ways of the world? Could I please encourage you tonight? Go with God. Don't turn away from God, but go with God. There's a proper direction that Josiah took. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But could I say this, that there was a pressing desire? Look at verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was young, this would mean that Josiah was now 16 years old. So for 8 years now, from the time Josiah has gotten saved, now he's 16 years old in the 8th year of his reign, and he is still young, the Bible says. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began to seek after him. All right, so the things that he's heard about God to this point, he's believed them. He's trusted Christ as his Savior. But now he is young, he is older than he was 8 years ago. He is now 16 years old. He's becoming a young man. Could I say this in here tonight? How many, do we have anybody in here 16 years old tonight? 15? Scooter, 15? 15 years old? Ben, how old are you? 15? 15 years old? 16? 16 years old. Young men. Young men. What's the youngest person in here tonight? 5? Is a 5-year-old here? 4? Maybe the little ones on the back? 6? You see where I'm going with this? From the young person, from 4, 5, 6 years old up through 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. God's got a message for you tonight. There was a pressing desire in the heart of a 16-year-old boy who was king over a nation. And that pressing desire that was within him was this: I am going to seek after God. It wasn't enough for him just to hear it anymore. But now he was old enough, he had to make some personal decisions. He had to make some personal dedications. And he had to have some determination in his heart. It's time for me to stand. And could I say 16, 15, right on down the line, it's time for you as young people to stand for God. This world's trying to influence you. If you're a young man tonight, the world's trying to tell you you're a girl. If you're a young lady tonight, the world's trying to tell you that you're a boy. That is wicked and against God. God made you for who you are. You're a young man. He made you a young man. Be a young man. Get your hands dirty and be a young man. Don't pick up a baby doll unless you're going to throw it across the room. I did that with my sisters. Probably got in trouble. But if you're a young lady, man, you do something that would please God as a young lady. You practice cooking. You practice cleaning. You practice doing what your mama does. And you practice pleasing God. The things that a young lady would do, you do those things that would be becoming of a young lady. There was a pressing desire. He said, I'm going the ways of the Lord. I remember when the Lord dealt with my heart about country music. Could I just share a personal testimony with you? 15, 16 years old, I grew up in the South. I love country music. I just did. I liked the beat of it. I didn't really care about the words because I was just singing. Just didn't realize it. Just didn't realize what was going on. But you know, the Lord dealt with my heart one night about 11:30, 16 years old. And He sat down there with me in the truck and He said, what are you doing? I started looking around. It was like audible to me. Think about what you're singing, He said. It convicted my heart. Singing about beer, loose living, things that would admonish the devil and not please God. And God dealt with my heart very hard about it. From that point on, I said, Lord, you got my attention. I'm done with it. And I've never listened to it. That was my habit. Get in my truck and ride and listen to country music. But what a terrible desire. I'm ashamed of it. And I don't say that proudly tonight. I just want to say that to you as a young person tonight to encourage you, to admonish you, to tell you this. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. I realized that when I was younger, preacher, that I could have dove into the Word of God and I could have filled my mind up with Scripture. While you're young, your mind can absorb things. The older you get, the harder it's going to be for you to remember things. Could I encourage you as a young person tonight, fill up your mind and fill up your memory with the Word of God. If you don't memorize but one verse a week, memorize that verse. If you don't memorize but one word out of that verse a week, memorize that word and build on it. And fill your mind up right now, young person, with the Word of God. And when God calls you one day to His service, or God calls you and gives you a family, you'll be able to lead your family with Scripture because it's going to be in your heart, and what's in the heart is going to come out. So fill it up with Jesus. Amen. Fill it up with the Word of God. There was a pressing desire. He said, I am going to seek after the Lord. That word seek there means He was going for it with all of His heart. I love playing ball coming up as a young person. I poured my whole effort into playing ball. I wanted to be the best hitter. I wanted to be the best fielder. I wanted to be the best pitcher. Wherever I played, I wanted to be the best at it. But you know, if I'd have took that desire and said, I want to be the best Christian that I could be, then I'd be a better Christian today. I'm not trying to confess my faults or paint a bad picture. But I just want to try to exhort you tonight, young people. Don't let your attention get on the things of this world. But set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are not of the Father but of the world. And the flesh passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The things of God will last, but the things of our flesh will fail. And they won't carry you anywhere. There was a pressing desire that Josiah said, I'm going to seek after and pour all of my effort into the ways of God. And because of that, God blessed him in a great way. There was a pressing desire when he was 16 years old. But could I say that there was also, by the time he was 20 years old, he made a prolific demand. Meaning this, he was very productive. The Bible says, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. Now we see that he has moved from a very young man into maturing into a 20-year-old older man. And he's learning that as he's seeking after God, that there are ways that he needs to clean up his life. And there are things that he needs to clean out that way he can live a life that's pleasing to God. And he can have a kingdom that is pleasing to God. Because you see, Josiah wasn't just living his life for himself, but Josiah was living his life to be an example before his whole kingdom in that land of Judah. Could I say to us tonight that the Word of God says that no man liveth or dieth to himself? All of us affect somebody with the decisions that we make. Mama and daddy, if you're not faithful to Bible time and devotion with your family, you're affecting them in a negative way. If you're not praying faithfully and you're not living for God faithfully, you're not going to the house of God faithfully, you're affecting your children in a negative way when it comes to the house of God and to the ways of God. But by the time that he was 20 years old, he said, there are ways that I'm going to have to live my life, and there are things that I'm going to have to clean out that I can be pleasing to my God and set a good example in front of my kingdom. The Bible says he began to purge Judah. That means he went through and he cleaned house. We couldn't go into every detail tonight about what he did, but he went through and he didn't leave anything standing that was going to displease God. Verse number 4, the Bible says, look at these B words if you want to underline them. Verse number 4, it says, and they break down the altars of Balaam. That altar represents worship. That altar represents worship. So first he started with worship. He said, there's not going to be anything in my hometown that's going to worship anything other than my Lord and my God. It would do us well as mamas and daddies and grandparents and young people tonight to say, I'm not going to worship anything else but my Lord and my Savior. I'm not going to worship my TV. He said, wait a minute, what do you mean worship TV? Do you watch your TV more than you read your Bible? Then you set up an idol. Do you play your cell phone more than you read your Bible and pray? You've made your cell phone an idol. Do you get on Facebook more than you get in God's book? You've made Facebook an idol. Do you get on social media and Twitter and all these other things? I don't even know what all of them are. But do you partake in those things more than you partake in the Word of God? You have set up an altar of fleshly desire in your heart and life, and you need to get it out and get back to the altar of pleasing God, the altar of reading your Bible, the altar of praying, the altar of seeking after the ways of God. One of the biggest things these days that's taken our young people are video games. And I'm afraid that electronics and all these things, and I understand that you have to have recreation. I understand all that, and all of it's not bad, but if you let it consume you, then it becomes wrong. But the Lord help us today to break down those places that displease the Lord and put an altar back into our life where we can be altered. God alters people at the altar. And so, Lord, help us to break down the altars of Balaam, the altar of worshiping those images, the altar of worshiping those things, and build back up that which pleases God. In verse number 5, it says, he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars. That word burnt there, burning the bones of those priests that had offered sacrifices to Balaam, those priests that had made sacrifice to everything other than the one and true living God. He dug up those bones, he got those bones, and he actually burned the bones of those priests. What are you trying to say? What does this mean? What did he do this for? He didn't want any trace of false worship around the town of God. He didn't want any trace of that false worship within his life. Any remembrance he wanted gone of those things that didn't please God. Lord, help us tonight to get the remembrances of our past out of our life and burn those things. And those things that are holding us up from serving God, that we would burn those things. There wouldn't be a trace of anything fleshly in our life anymore. There wouldn't be a trace of anything worldly anymore within our life. But we would live a life that was well-pleasing to Christ. Amen. At the age of 20 years old, he's doing all this. He burnt the bones. And in verse number 7, and when he had broken down the altars, he broke them down and had beaten the graven images to powder. It wasn't just enough for him to go in there and kick the idols over or to beat them one time, but the Bible says that he pounded them. He pounded them to dust. He demolished them. You ever slung a sledgehammer before? I've slung it too many times. But whenever that sledgehammer comes down and it hits its intended target, it crushes what's there. It demolishes what's there. And it mashes it down to powder, mashes it down into the ground. Lord, help us tonight to take those idols out of our life, to take those things that don't please God out of our life, from the young person to the old person tonight, and beat them down to dust and stomp them in the ground and said, I'm going to stand away from those things and stand on solid ground to serve my Lord and my Savior. A prolific demand, meaning this, he was very productive in the demands that he was making. But could I also say in verses 29 through 33, well, don't let me miss this, in verse number 8, whenever he was 26 years old, that he repaired the house of the Lord. He said, no, we're not just going to repair the altars. We're not just going to get back to worshiping God on the altar, but we're going to get everybody back to the house of God. And he began to give money to the workers and money to those that had the skill to build the house of God back. That way they could be there and worship the Lord together in one place. Families, what is broken down in your life to where you can't worship God together anymore? Clean those things out and rebuild. A little bit about that was said Sunday, but rebuild your home that it would please God. Rebuild your life that it would please God. And rebuild it to be an example to your children, that you would show them there is a God in heaven and He's worth serving. He's worth serving, thank God. So he built the place of worship back up at 26 years old. And now he's becoming a mature young man. He's getting up into the middle part of his life. I guess we could say it that way. But we see now that he makes a powerful dedication. Look at verse 29 through 33. The Bible says, and then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of God. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. That means he made them stand up and agree to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. He made a powerful dedication. He said, they found the word of God in the temple, and they brought the word of God out, and it was read, and it was interpreted, and the message was sent back, and Josiah rent his clothes. He humbled himself. He said, we have got to get back to true, holy Bible worship of Almighty God, and I'm going to make a decree, I'm going to make a covenant, and I'm going to stand and make the covenant before the Lord. This was not a haphazard decision. This was not something of happenstance. But he determined in his heart. He said, with all my heart, with all my soul, I'm going to keep the word of God. I'm going to walk after his ways. I'm going to keep his commandments. And I'm going to keep his testimonies. I'm going to keep his statutes. And I'm going to do it till my dying day. Lord, help us tonight, young people and old people as well. We got to get determined in our heart. We got to have some powerful dedication that says, I'm going to serve God. I'm not turning back. There's too much at stake. I've got a wife that I need to stand for the Lord. I've got a family I need to stand for before the Lord. I'm going to have grandchildren one day that I have to stand before the Lord. I need to stand that I can reach my family and I can reach my community for the cause of Christ. The public schools aren't going to help your children. Could I say the Christian schools in so many ways are not the answer to your children's help, to your children's need. But mamas and daddies at home, giving them the word of God, that's the answer to our problem. We've got to train up a child in the way he should go. And he is old, he will not depart from it. We've got to train them up in the ways of God. But oh, at the age of 26 years old and older, as they found the Word of God, he said, that is my desire and I'm staying with the Bible. We are living in a wicked day, church and young people. We are living in a day where they want to turn us all around in circles. They want to turn us away from serving God. But we as God's people have got to realize what's going on. We got to get our heads out the sand and we got to stand for the honor and the glory of God. He broke down the places of sodomy. He even broke down and demanded that the Valley of Hinnom be stopped. Those two things in the scripture represent the gays and lesbians and the sodomy that's in this world today and abortion that's in this world today. That's abortion of old time. Burning their children. Killing their babies. That's the same sin that we're facing today. But God help us as God's people to stand. Stand against that sodomy. Stand against that perverse crowd that's going to hell. Stand against that sin. Stand against that abortion of murdering babies. Stand against all that in these days in which we live. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. But stand on what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. There's a powerful dedication. He said, we're going to stand to it. All of us is going to stand to it. There was unity to stand to it. Stand together, church. We got to be done. But could I say this lastly? Because Josiah stood in verse 27, turning 28, there was a promise from the divine one. A promise from the divine one. Because thine heart, the Lord, this is the word of the Lord that came. Verse number 27, it says, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou hearest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Ain't it a blessing when God hears your prayer? Thank God. He said, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. I'm trying to say this tonight, because his heart was right with God and he sold out for the Lord as a young person, and now he's an older person. He is now reaping the benefits of what he did in his younger years. And because he stood for God in his younger days, he stood for God in his youth, the Lord said, I promise you, Josiah, that you in your lifetime will not see the destruction of this land. You will not see my judgment, but I will take you to the grave in peace, and I'll take you there to paradise with me and into heaven one day. But I'll take you and you will have rest and you will have peace. You won't see the destruction come. You won't see the heartache come. You won't see the defilement come, because your heart was tender, because you were not prideful, because you could be taught, because you listened, because you were obedient, because you said, I want God and nothing else. He reaped the benefits of a pleasant death. He reaped the benefits of a pleasant life because he chose to serve Christ. It makes a difference, young person. It makes a difference, child of God. He dedicated himself at an early age, from the age of 8 years old, on up into his adult years. I'm standing with God. And because of that, God himself gave a promise, you'll die in peace. And you'll see the good of the land because you had a heart that was tender. We're living in a day today where young people and old people have hearts that are hardened anymore. Yeah. Our hearts are not tender to the Word of God. But we've got to let God take His fingers and put them into our hearts. Could I call our heart fallow ground tonight? Ground that's been hardened and crusted over. We have to allow God to reach in there and pound that dirt and disc it up and till it up and get it soft again. That good seed can grow. Lord, help us tonight, young people. Don't reject what your mom and daddy is telling you according to the Word of God. Follow your mom and daddy as they follow Jesus Christ. Don't grow up and have a heart that says, I'm going to get older. I can't wait till I get out of the house. I'm going to do my own thing. Don't have that heart, young person. Please take an example from Josiah. Josiah really didn't have a good example to follow. But he said, I remember King David, and I remember his ways, and I'm going to live in those ways, the ways that please God. And could I say, young person, tonight, as Josiah had a tender heart, let your heart be tender. And when mom and daddy just simply says, clean up your room, just say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. I'll go clean my room up because I want to make you happy, mom and daddy. And the Bible tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You just pleased God because you pleased your mom and daddy. Could I say to us as adults, let's please our daddy. And I say that with all reverence. Our Heavenly Father. Let's please Him in the same regard. With a heart that's tender. With a heart that's soft. That says, God, if there's something wrong in my life, show me, I want to get it right. I'm sorry for the disobedience, Lord. I'm sorry I didn't read my Bible. I'm sorry I didn't pray. I'm sorry I didn't witness. I'm sorry I didn't pass out the tract when you told me to. I'm sorry I didn't make it to the house of God. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In the same way your children come to you, earthly daddies and mamas, to say, I'm sorry, mom and daddy. Will you forgive me? And you hug them. And you love them. So I forgive you, son. I forgive you, daughter. God will do us the same way. Sorry, God. So I forgive you. But I want you to do better for me. So let's, to all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, take an example, an exhortation from Josiah tonight. Let's start while we're young and finish well. Start while we're young and finish well. Let's stay with the Word of God and don't turn to the right nor to the left. In the latter days of your life, will be ways that are well-pleasing to our Lord. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the good night. Lord, thank you for the good word of God. Lord, I've done my best to hurry with it, Lord, and I just pray that it be a blessing to us now, Lord. I pray that you speak to our hearts, do thy divine work tonight, Lord, I pray. And Lord, make an eternal difference in our heart and life tonight. Help the young person tonight to dedicate their self to you. Help us as adults and grandparents as well to dedicate ourselves to you. And Lord, just to get another zeal, Lord, a refreshing of the zeal of God in our hearts, that we're going to keep going for God. And Lord, I love you and I thank you, dear Lord God, for helping us tonight. And I just bless your holy name, Lord, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.